We will begin with opening statements from the candidates running for City Council seat E, Dennis Robinson and John Waldron. You each have 2 minutes to tell us who you are and why you are running for City Council. Up first, Councillor Waldron.
Hi, my name is John Waldron. Most of you know me. I've lived in Onalaska from 1987 through 1994, returned in 2005, and have no plans of leaving right now. I'm married, have 3 children, 2 that graduated from the Onalaska High School, 1 that's currently in the middle school. I believe in the city of Onalaska. I returned here as a police officer because of the school district. I wanted my kids to have the best education they could and stay in Alaska, and Onalaska was rated one of the top schools in the state. I believe the school district is still one of the top in the state, and I'm proud of that. The city of Onalaska has grown tremendously since 1987, when there was no asphalt roads, and now we have many asphalt roads. I believe the city is growing. They have a great tax base with the changes in the fishing industry that went to the rationalizations of halibut and crab, which has stabilized the taxes in this community. I believe the city currently, with the collections of projects that they do, I think it's killing the average person in Onalaska. My goal is to keep taxes down. I believe this last year was one of the first times that the city actually used some of the surplus money to reduce tax or rate increases for water and sewer, and we've tried to keep that in mind in doing so.
And Mr. Robinson.
Hello, my name is Dennis Robinson. I was born here in 1959 and lived here most of my life. Those of you who know me know I'm very opinionated and not afraid to speak my mind. I am outspoken about the things I believe in that is right for this community. Many of you don't know me, so here's a little about me. My father, Vern Robinson, was the founding father of Onalaska as a first-class city in 1941. As a child, I was fortunate enough to live in a household where my father welcomed state leaders. We were surrounded by visionaries and hard workers and grew up knowing our community was our backbone, and we were responsible to honor it and give our abilities to its success. As a young man, I was proud to be part of the leadership that had the foresight and teamwork to build what we enjoy today. We updated a water system that was capable of bringing processors onshore, accommodating companies like Alyeska, Unice, and Westward. We built a city hall, a new clinic, a library, a recreation center, a powerhouse, and paved roads. We upgraded our sewer system and landfill. We built a new city dock, a new boat harbor to supplement our existing boat harbors. We continually give the maximum amount of our money to our award-winning schools. I was an active city council member during this time of building. However, I was a director of the Onalaska Corporation. Our OC team brought you Matson Container Yard, an expanded APL yard, a Grand Aleutian Hotel, Safeway, Alaska Ship Supply, Dutch Harbor Post Office, 2 gas stations, and facilitated the housing of our public school teachers as well as many others in the community. It's not possible in 2 minutes to cover everything and all that I've participated in over the years. I haven't begun to tell you my love and support for the arts, my passion for education, my devotion to our environment, and the health and well-being of all of you. Thank you for hearing me. Now it's time for me to hear you.
Thank you both for your opening statements. We'll move on to questions now. This year, the City Council approved a major renovation to the city dock that'll cost roughly $40 million over the next 25 years. What is your opinion of that spending decision, and how do you rank the port among city priorities? Up first, Mr. Robinson.
The expansion of the city dock is, and I was on the council when we started that discussion, and as you know, government moves fairly slowly. I was a proponent at the time because we found that there was no state money and no federal money to to build the facility, or to help build the facility, and encouraged the mayor and the city manager to try to look at a preferential use agreement. At the time, it took me 2 years of talking to him to finally agree to bring one forward. And that preferential use agreement, due to the Federal Shipping Act, is required of this community to put that out to bid to all people. It cannot sole source it like Kodiak did. There's no competition in Kodiak for a municipal dock. They go to the competition that is there go to different docks. And we are required to do that. At the time, our port director found that the revenues that are generated on that dock currently can pay for it. By doing so, we avoided, I think, probably a good $20 or $30 million renovation of the old structure that we had. Putting another a few million dollars more, we'll have a new structure that'll last 50 years or better with proper maintenance, and make the uplands a lot more useful, creating more revenue for the city, or for the port department, which ultimately will be the city. And at this point, I was really, I was shocked that Mattson at the time shot the PUA down. They testified against it. And the very next day, they went in and said, we want to negotiate a PUA. But our city manager had basically said that, hey, council shot that one down. They voted it down.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Mr. Waldron.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes, I can. This year, the City Council approved a major renovation to the city dock that will cost roughly $40 million over the next 25 years. What is your opinion of that spending decision, and how do you rank the port among city priorities?
I supported the dock renovation. I had questions in the beginning, and they were answered, and I supported it. As far as PUAs, the city has had many requests for PUAs at the dock. We do have one offer from Mattson, but there have been other interested parties. And I think the city, if they have 10 PUAs, that they can allot a time frame for the individuals that want to use this, and it's on a weekly or a monthly basis, and we can allot that time and guarantee that money, it saves the taxpayer money in case something happens where we don't have boats here. If we have a contract and it says, this is your time allotted, this is how much you'll pay, whether you show or whether you don't show, you will pay this amount. It's a good business practice. And when the attorney for the bond was here, he spoke highly of PUAs. It's not uncommon for cities to have PUAs with different organizations that guarantees dock space. It pays the bond back. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebuttal? You have 1 minute.
The preferential use agreement in any port in the United States, when there are multiple users of a facility, that preferential use comes at a premium, and it is paid more, than what is being proposed by Mattson. Mattson wants a preferential use agreement that will give them a 15% reduction in tariff. I disagree with that. We have the facility, and the current rates will pay the bond back. Why do we need to reduce the rates to put that in jeopardy?
Thank you. And Mr. Waldron, 1 minute for you.
That was the proposal. It's not what the council has agreed to. It's not what the city attorney has looked at or come up with a counter offer. Whether or not the city does take and give a PUA, and if it is at a reduced rate, there's still the guarantee that rate will be paid whether they come or if they bypass. That would be there a lot of time. And it's not just one entity. There's several that have sent in requests or interest in PUAs. Thank you.
One more round on this issue.
Just a point. The Federal Shipping Act requires that this kind, the community with like this that has multiple users on a dock go out to for an RFP. And I don't have a problem with going out in RFP. I envisioned that to begin with when I first brought the proposal for RFP forward, to that we would have five or more users answering that PUA and each of them getting a slot. The last thing in the world anybody on the council ever wanted to do was to kick Matson off that dock, because by God, they bring our food in and they bring our mail in. And they should have a priority to that dock, which doesn't require a PUA, but a simple policy that, hey, they've been coming here for 30 years, and between midnight on Friday, or actually, you know, 01 in the morning on Friday to noon Saturday, they have that dock for their use. And we would be the last thing in the world the city would want to do is to kick them off the dock.
Thank you. And any final word, Mr. Waldron?
Even though it's a common practice, it's not a guaranteed for them. If they come here and there's someone on that dock and they have the preferential use of that dock, the city has to give it to them. And that's how we guarantee that our freight comes and goes. Without that PUA, if there's someone there and they're stuck there, now we've got other problems. Or if they come here and they can't get to the dock, what happens if it's the city's fault? So you have to look at all options in this. And I know that Mr. Robinson says that you have to bring up, he brought up the federal dock laws or whatever
you should be.
Okay, Federal Shipping Act. That's not what the attorneys are saying. The attorneys are saying that you can still have PUAs.
Thank you. Moving on to another question. How would you evaluate the city's working relationship with the Unalashka Corporation and the Kawalungan Tribe? How would you approach those partnerships if elected or reelected? Up first, Mr. Waldron.
The Kawalungan Tribe, I've been a supporter of. I think the city is getting ready to go into looking into long-term projects, and this is the time that you would have the tribe come in to see if they can help. They are the only other entity in this community that can apply for federal grants, the same that the city applies for, but they can also apply for other grants through BIA. They have a good opportunity. It's kind of like the dock project. If they were brought in 3 or 4 years ago on the dock project to apply for this Tiger grant that the city applied for, it would have been much better. They would have a much better chance of getting that grant. The Tiger grant is a competitive worldwide grant for docks, international ports. So if the tribe was involved in that, I think they would have wrote a second Tiger grant, and that's what the Tiger grant is all about. Cooperatives between other agencies within the city, other businesses within the city, because businesses can also apply for the Tiger grant and have support for them. The Unalashka Corporation, I think the city has a pretty good relationship with them. The city works with them on different areas of needing rights of ways and things of that nature, and the Unalashka Corporation has been a good partner with the city. So.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson?
The Kawalungan Tribe, it's my baby. I and myself and four others wrote the Constitution to reactivate our tribe. I've also spent 14 years on the Unalashka Corporation Board, six of them as chairman of the board in the building of this community. I've spent 12 years in the City Council. I have always thought, and I always envisioned, the three entities working closely together to achieve the maximum we can achieve. And I see that coming around. With the change in the Kawalungan Tribe, the getting more active, the self-governance being accomplished, and with OC being financially strong, I think we're going to finally start seeing some change for the positive that comes from the cooperation of all three. Thank you.
Thank you. A listener question for Mr. Robinson. At a recent city council meeting, Rather, at recent city council meetings, you have made many strong statements and have now described yourself as outspoken. If elected, what will you do to work alongside other city council members productively?
As I've said, I am outspoken on issues that I feel strongly on. But my record is I have worked well with all the council members I've worked with in the past 12 years of serving on that council. I intend to do the same, and it's imperative that the council work together for the better of the community. After all, it is one community. Thank you.
Thank you. And posing some of the ongoing incumbent questions to Councillor Waldron. Please describe your role in the departure of City Manager Dave Martinson.
My role was a council member. I was a little bit shocked that we received an email from him requesting or insinuating that he wanted to leave. But at the same time, we needed to take our actions the way we took them. He requested it. He requested that it be done in executive session. And the actions we took were respond to contact the attorney and explain the situation that we had. And we ended up at the end where we were. Mr. Martinson resigned and took the severance package.
Thank you. And this prepared listener had a follow-up post. If you were surprised when the mayor told you that the city manager wanted his contract terminated, or if that was communicated via email, why did you not contact through a phone call, text, or email yourself?
Mr. Martinson was gone for personal reasons, death in the family, I should say. But at the same time, he had the email, he requested it, and we stuck to his wishes.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, given that situation, how would you have responded differently?
How would I have responded differently? I would have used my duty as a council member to consult with the city manager first. I wouldn't have listened to anything the mayor had said unless I talked to the city manager, because it is a manager-council form of government. That means the manager runs the city. The manager makes the decisions that are required for the city and its employees to do the best they can for the community. It's the council's position to pass the ordinances that govern the city, and at the request of the administration, if the administration thinks that there may need to be other positions, then the council acts and on that, not the other way around. I would have consulted with Dave Martinson by phone. I wasn't on the city council at the time, but I was able to call his phone and talk with him. I would have asked him, "Hey Dave, what's going on? What is really going on?" That's how I would have handled it.
Thank you. Rebuttal?
It's easy to say that's what you would have done, but at the time of receiving the emails and the feelings that were behind that and what was stated, we took action on what he requested. So, do I feel bad that I did not call Dave Martinson? No, because at the same time, he could have picked up the phone and called me. He's the one that sent the email. It was his request. So, it's easy to say when you're not part of that group that received what we received.
Thank you. A listener question directed to Councillor Waldron that I will also open up to Mr. Robinson afterward. As someone who has worked for public safety, what do you think about the fire chief potentially reporting to the city manager, and why do you hold that opinion?
I supported that. Do I think public safety should be as a whole one? Yes. But with the recent turnover and the information coming to us through the city manager that the police station was understaffed, the fire department was understaffed, the safety of the community was at risk. We felt that it might be a better fit to have the fire chief answer directly to the city manager and run his budget the way he needs to run it. It would free up the time that the police department was, or the administration was spending on the fire department, and could concentrate more on the police department to get that back up and going. It would also allow the fire chief to have a little bit more say-so on how his budget and how the training and things of that nature for the people that are being hired would be taken care of. And I think was also a better fit for some of the volunteers. Public safety by far has the highest turnover rate within the city, if you base it on a percentage. And that's an ongoing issue. I know that it's said to come down to housing, cost of living, cost of flying, cost of everything else, but I think they also need to stop and say, how long does this go on? How much money do we have to throw at it? And could it be administration problems? So.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. What do you think about the fire chief potentially reporting to the city manager, and why?
Well, the whole situation, I believe, is, and it's my feeling, came about in the wrong manner. Number one, it wasn't requested by the Department of Public Safety's director. It wasn't requested by the city manager who runs the city. It was forced upon them by the city council, which is not their role. It's not the role of the city council to go in and inadvertently create positions for the city. Yes, they create them at the request of the manager, but not vice versa. The problem that I see in public safety, and I've seen it for a long time, is retention. We don't pay our officers enough. We pay them too little. We train them, and the minute they put in their fulfill their two-year obligation or whatever that obligation may be, they find jobs elsewhere that pay more, and the cost of living is less. I think that being, living here for 52 years, I've seen the volunteers come and go. They peak at times and then they disappear at times. And I think just this is one of those times that, hey, we don't have a whole lot of volunteers, but it is building. There is hope. And I've seen it multiple times before where the ebb and flow of the number of volunteers we have will change, and they do change. And I'm not too worried about that. I'm more worried about getting to the root of the problem, and that is paying our officers enough to be able to keep them here.
Rebuttal?
I think the role of the council, as Mr. Robinson said, the role of the council isn't to direct and tell the city manager how to do things. But I think the council has to look at certain situations within the city and turn around and say, it's not working, it hasn't been working, there's problems, how can we help, and what do we need to do to make these two things happen? The fire chief is not out of public safety, and he is not out of the decision making as far as the director. The director of public safety still has a final say-so, and if the fire chief does not like that, he can talk to the city manager. Or he can go to the city manager and say, this is what I'm doing, and bring it to the public safety director and say, I've got the approval of that. There's still an equal seat between the director of public safety and the fire chief. They both can answer to the city manager, but there is in the ordinance a working relationship within the department where the fire chief and the director need to talk and need to work out the differences. Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Nowhere in the state of Alaska does this situation exist. But I see what's happening is going to be a conflict. If you get a director of public safety and the fire chief conflicting, it's going to create havoc in the department as a whole. And it allows another member of the Department of Public Safety, say the fire chief, to go around the director of the Department of Public Safety and try to achieve something, therefore creating conflict if the director of the public safety doesn't agree with it. I think it's too many chiefs and no Indians. It needs to change back to the way it was.
Rebuttal.
Over the past 6 years, 5 years, there have been no Indians. There's only been chiefs. And there's been problems. And this was a possible fix. And I think the council did the right thing. It like I say, it takes some pressure off the director of public safety. It takes some pressure off the deputy chief to concentrate on the police department and the corrections and the dispatch areas. Yes, there are some things that are changing, but it gives that fire department, the fire chief who just came on board, an opportunity to run his department the way it needs to be ran, to get it back up and going, and he has a little bit more leeway where he can address the city manager directly if he has questions on things.
Thank you. For those just tuning in, just want to remind you that this is the 2017 Candidates Forum on KUCB Radio and Channel 8 TV. We are now speaking with council candidates for CE. You'll see them on the ballot on Tuesday. If you have any questions you'd like to pose to them, please give us a call at 581-1888 or email us candidates@kucb.org. And anyone in the live audience is, of course, welcome to come up to the microphone and pose a question as well. We'll return to some caller questions. For the challenger, if elected, how often would you meet with the city manager to discuss issues and provide your thoughts on the future of Unalaska? And then for the incumbent, we'll ask, how often do you meet with the city manager to discuss issues and provide your thoughts? Up first, Mr. Robinson.
I would meet with the city manager, or at least have discussions with the city manager on the phone at least 2 times a week. And I would like to meet with him once a week, at least, and especially before a meeting.
Thank you. And Councillor Waldron?
The question again?
Yes. How often do you meet with the city manager to discuss issues or provide your thoughts on the future of Unalaska?
I would meet with the city manager if I had a question on something. If I was looking through the packets, or if I was going through some information, if I had questions, I would email normally the council members or the mayor included with the city manager. And it would give me a better understanding on different things that I might have had questions on. As far as meeting with him face to face, he was a very busy man. He would make time for me, but I also knew that I was taking time away from him. So, like I say, if I had questions, or if he wanted to talk to me, he made requests, and I've shown up in his office and sat down with him. So, I think that goes with the working relationship and how open it is, or how the discussions go within the emails. If I feel as though it's something that I need to meet it face to face, I would.
Thank you. There are numerous houses in town that have taken steps to use renewable energy. What can the council do to encourage other homeowners to also incorporate renewable energy resources, if you think they should? Up first, Mr. Councillor Waldron.
I'm all for reusable energy. I supported the survey for wind turbines. I am a big proponent of solar, either hydronic or electric. I know that there are some individuals in town that have wind generators at their residence. The city did put a moratorium in on the wind generators, but I would encourage more and more of it. I think that this city has always looked at whether or not they were going to do the McCushion project for the hydroelectric or the volcanic electric. I don't think it has to be 100%. I think that if the city can get 20% wind, 15% through water, and there are ways to do it through the dam system, putting in turbines in the water mains coming down. There's all different ways to supplement the fossil use that we are using. It doesn't have to be 100%. Kodiak right now is at about 80%, and that's through hydro. Granted, they've got dams, but they also have wind that's producing about 25%. So I think the city needs to look hard and thorough to promote it. As far as the everyday person, I think there's lots of things that they can do to help save energy and reduce their costs.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson?
Renewable energy is something that we need to face and we need to accomplish. And it's not going to be a one source of energy. I see a multifaceted approach to it, combining wind, which there was a study done on the wind here already, and it was a study of direction and velocity for 2 years. I think the city would do well to utilize some of that information in any decision going forward. It was sad because we talked about it initially to put in the water main a generator up in when we were redoing the water treatment plant in Pyramid Valley, but this community uses 8 million or so gallons a day at peak, sometimes better. And that's a lot of energy that goes by that we could tap into. The stick water that goes out of this bay that the processors produce goes into those boats, is pumped in there about roughly 180 degrees. That's energy that we're dumping out there and cooking jellyfish. That could be utilized to generate power. The water from the sewer, we could put heat pumps in that and pull the heat out of the already heated water that exists in the sewer. There's a number of other things that we could do. Wind. Geothermal is a really expensive one, but if it would be nice to be able to do it, but unfortunately the owner of that resource right now is asking way too much and wants to tie it to the price of oil. We can't do that. But there are others, the current, tidal current. So there are a multitude, like I said, a multifaceted approach to it, and I think a single one is going to solve the problem. We're going to have to break it up into multiple.
Thank you. This year, the City Council voted to raise utility rates for residents and businesses. The Council also voted to subsidize utilities with city money as much as $1.3 million a year. Do you think the city can afford to subsidize utilities for long? And what else can the city do to address these growing costs? Up first, Mr. Waldron.
Yes, I supported the $1.3 million. It was surplus money out of the budgets. It's the surplus money at the end of the year. It was taxes collected to run the community. I didn't want to see 15% increases this year, next year, and the year after. And that was one of the reasons that we looked at using supplement money to keep the costs down for the residents of Unalaska and for the businesses of Unalaska. It's been a tough year for some of the businesses, especially the canneries. I don't think there's one that isn't in the hole with projects that they've done and costs that have gone up. So if we can keep the cost down using some of the supplement money, I agree with that. And we still put $2.3 or $2.6 million into ongoing projects. So that supplement money from tax revenue from the year. So yes, I supported that.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson? I can. Where did I read it from? This year, the City Council voted to raise utility rates for residents and businesses. The council also voted to subsidize utilities with city money as much as $1.3 million a year. Do you think the city can afford to subsidize utilities for long, and how else can the city address these growing costs?
I was on the council when we built that powerhouse, and the increases that were due to take effect were planned out years in advance. I do support the subsidization of the rates, or the electricity rates, but I think our problem is a little deeper than that. Jim Fitch had touched a little bit on that earlier, about creating a grid here and having the multiple users put into that grid. And in doing so, if that happens, then what we need to do is come up with one single rate for electricity, not multiple. We have four different rates, but one single rate for electricity that everybody pays. And having a grid, I think we could do that. It can be accomplished, and we would have sufficient power to provide for instance, the Northern Victor, the new APL crane, expanded APL yard with more boxes being plugged in, more usage by Western Seafoods, more usage by Alyeska Seafoods, and tying in OSI. This can all be accomplished, but we need to approach it differently.
Thank you. We have time for just a few more questions for these candidates, so if anyone here would like to ask one, now's the time. And we'll remind everyone that it's 581-1888 to call in with questions. You can email them at candidates@kucb.org. A question directed to Mr. Robinson. Is there any truth to a rumor that you are promoting a private dock facility in Captain's Bay that would compete with the UMC facility?
I made a proposal, actually three different proposals, to a shipping company to build them a dock. The rest of that information is private.
Thank you. A question to both candidates regarding, again, the city manager situation. If elected, how would you work to bring the community back together again after some tense discussions? Explain your methodology. Mr. Waldron.
After tense, bringing the community back together, I think everyone needs to realize that not everyone's going to agree, not everyone's going to disagree. But I think that the community also needs to look at both sides and understand both sides. Just because you don't agree doesn't mean that you're right, and just because you agree doesn't mean you're right. It's got to be in the middle of the road. You're not going to make everyone happy all the time.
Thank you. And Mr. Robinson?
And please repeat the question.
Yes. If elected, how would you bring the community back together again after some tense discussions? Explain your methodology.
Bringing a community back together again after it's fractured in the sense that it was in these past couple months is going to be a tough job. It's going to take a lot of listening and in order to heal. If I was on the council, I would have approached it a little different way, and I would have been more transparent and explained my position just a little more to the residents and the city workers that that this has been affected severely. But bringing it back together is going to be a tough job, and it's going to take the cooperation of the entire council.
1 minute to Mr. Waldron.
I think a lot of city members have stopped and looked at the situation. When Mr. Martinson gave his farewell speech, and that He explained he was tired. And he was tired and needed to go. He knew that it was his time. I don't believe that was just the city council. I don't believe it was just the city employees. I don't believe it was one city entity, a community entity, that caused that. I think it was a lot of things going on at the same time that took his toll. And I think, you know, he had some family stuff that was going on also that played some part in that. But I think it's already mending. I mean, I've had several city employees come up and say thank you. So I'm good.
Thank you. And a final question before closing statements. Unalaska's revenue is largely driven by the fishing industry. In your opinion, how important is it right now to diversify our local economy, and how do you suggest we do it? But first, Mr. Robinson.
Diversification has always been one for the forefront of my mind. And it started from listening to my dad. He always said to me that the key to this port is its location and its deep water. Shipping will play a major role in this community. It's a matter of time. It already does. We've become the hub for containerized cargo out of Bristol Bay, out of the rest of the state of Alaska, you know, and right here at our little UMC that I was part of the decision-making process to build. So, diversification is important. It's going to be a tough one because right now what we have is, well, there's lack of housing, for one, and that causes people to be overworked. I mean, most people in this community have two, if not three, jobs. There's not enough people for the jobs. I've always told people that we have more jobs than we have people, and we have more people than we have housing. We got a hotbed it. I am working currently on OC board to try to address that problem, and I think you will see a change coming in the very near future to that effect. But it's going to take the city participation also. There are some things that I worked with Representative Bryce Edgman and Lyman, and our Senator Lyman Hoffman, to change in the state code that allows the city to waive some taxes for a period of time and for conditions. We've taken part control of part of that. We've addressed part of it, but there's more we need to do.
Thank you. And Councillor Waldron.
Repeat the question.
Yes. Unalaska's revenue is largely driven by the fishing industry. In your opinion, how important is it right now to diversify the local economy, and how do you suggest we do it?
I think the city needs to diversify a little bit. I don't think the city, yes, it has the shipping routes and things of that nature, but I don't think you're going to see those industries grow. It's kind of like a shell. When the world changes and things happen, Shell pulled out of here. Everyone was on board for Shell. I think the city held back some of its investment because of that reason for Shell. Yes, we supported it, we wanted it, and but we took in consideration what's the risk if the oil falls out, and it did. I think the cruise industry could be a growing entrepreneurship for a lot of people in here. It's already affecting some of the local businesses with the one cruise ship that pulled out because of the investment they made for that cruise ship to come in. But we see them gearing up for these cruise ships. And next year I would say we're going to have 20. Me and my wife were involved in the cruise industry, and we had our own gift shop down in Southeast Alaska that worked with Royal Caribbean and Princess Lines and Holland America. So there's an opportunity there. Other businesses, the mom and pop businesses are getting tougher and tougher in this community because of the costs. The other with shipping, they need flat land. And they're going if this is going to be a port for that, they need to find places that are willing to give them the flat land so they can store containers and do the shipping transfers and processes. So there's a lot of different things that can happen. It's going to take cooperation of the whole community, city, the largest landholder, and probably the tribe to work these differences out.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone for their questions on that round. This is now the time for seat E candidates to have their final statements. This is your chance to share any final thoughts with the voters before they head to the polls, and you will each again have 2 minutes. Mr. Robinson, you're up first.
Thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you've had some of your most important questions answered, and I hope you feel you know me a little better. I hope you believe that your right to vote makes a positive, powerful impact to our community and your life. I invite you to spend some time in our city library. They have an entire room dedicated in the history of Unalaska. This room is called the Ray Hudson Room, named after a great teacher and historian who gave many years of his life to our community and to our indigenous people. He was the most influential teacher growing up. I encourage you to discover the many volumes of information available to you there. I invite you to take your children to the Museum of the Aleutians on Salmon Way. It is a state-of-the-art facility that is a beautiful representation of the art and history of our Anungan people, the effects of World War II on our community, our fishing industry, and our geology. I invite you to visit the World War II Museum at the airport. It is a recently remodeled World War II building with a tremendous offering of displays, including a small movie theater for important viewings. It is operated by the Unalaska Corporation, and I encourage you to spend an afternoon discovering this part of our history. Our public schools are the best in the country. I have 7 children. 2 teenagers living at home have all benefited from our education system. I believe in education. I believe in history. I believe in our community, our resources, our environment. Thank you, KUCB, for hosting this debate and for joining us this evening. And I'd like to thank my wife, Linda, and our sons for supporting me in this campaign. In closing, our history made our present. Our present builds our future. I hope this debate was informative for all of you. And if you have any questions for me, I'm in the phone book. I hope you will cast your votes and that you will feel supported whichever way you vote. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councillor Waldron.
Thank you all for attending this. Thank you, KUCB, for the putting on this forum. I've lived here for many, many years. I have no plans on leaving. My wife supports me in this election. She's the administrator for the Cowalingan tribe. She wants to work with the city, wants to work with OC, and does work with OC quite often. All I care is that you get out and vote. And vote with your heart. Vote with who you think is the best candidate. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who submitted their questions, and thank you to Dennis Robinson and John Waldron for joining the forum tonight. Again, they are running for City Council seat E.